welcome to the worldwide broadcast of the Ted and Austin Brower Show, bringing you the latest world news and health research. I hope everybody is having a fantastic day today. We had a good day down here in Florida as far as with the primaries or the Republican primaries. We had it. DeSantis, he won, beating Putnam, which was great because Putnam's been involved in massive amounts of corruption, in my opinion, with the spill, with the red algae, the green algae bloom, the red algae bloom, all the different environmental toxins that he's dumped down in Lake Okeechobee. But what's crazy is we had this Gillum guy win out of Tallahassee. He's a Tallahassee mayor. He actually won the Democratic side on his standpoint. And so we're going to touch base shortly on this today. But one thing I thought that was ironic about this is even though DeSantis won, he came out, you know, as far as he's our Republican representative now on that. And he came out, basically thanked everybody, and he said, let's build off the success that we've already had in Florida. The last thing we need to do is monkey this up by trying to embrace a full socialist agenda with huge tax increases and bankrupting the state. Now, all over social media, the mainstream media, the Democrats now are criticizing him, and now they're calling him a racist and a bigot.
That's right.
For using a term like the word, don't monkey this up, when we embrace a socialist agenda with huge taxes. You can't even make this up. One Florida Democratic Party chairman, Therese Rose, she said, it's disgusting that Ron DeSantis is launching his general election campaign with racist dog whistles and bigoted behavior. This is unacceptable. Even Fox News anchor who interviewed him later weighed in on the matter, saying, we do not condone his language, while alerting viewers to DeSantis' response. This is a joke to me, guys. This is a complete and total joke. Not only are they taking everything he said out of context, they're going in now and using the most asinine, politically correct lingo they can to try to make the Republican winner look like a racist for using a term, don't monkey this up, because they're saying now that the Democratic running, you know, guy for governor is basically black. And that was a racist remark, and using that when this guy Gillum is an absolute blatant completely, he said himself, he's a socialist, communist, blatantly he's come out now for a socialist agenda. It's already said that he wants to come in and bring in state income tax to Florida, that they massively need to help the welfare out in Florida with all the immigrants that have come in here, that they need to basically redistribute the wealth is essentially what he said. And on top of that, this guy is rabidly anti-gun. He's already come out numerous times and said he wants to ban all assault weapons and large capacity magazines. He wants to have incredibly strict background checks. He wants to ban any type of private sale, make it a felony to sell a weapon without going through a dealer, restrict gun access to known and foreign domestic terrorists. And a lot of people go, well, that's kind of common knowledge. Ah, but wait, what happens when DHS starts listing the United States citizens as domestic terrorists because we don't follow the lines of the perfect credit score system? That's where that's falling into right there. And then he came out and he said he wants to ban the purchase of armor-piercing bullets and possession of armor-piercing bullets, which is ridiculous as well, because there has not been any mass shooting in history that's used armor-piercing bullets. That has nothing to do with any situation we've had. So bringing that topic up just again shows you the lunacy that these guys live in, their little fairy dust leftist world. And if we ban armor-piercing bullets, people won't die anymore. It's asinine, Dad. But I saw that today, and when I saw them going after DeSantis already, first thing this morning because of that comment, it showed me that the left and the mainstream media knows no bounds how far they're going to stoop to try to get a socialist in the governorship of Florida now.
You know, let me give you a little history lesson. Back in the 1800s, we had Darwin. And Darwin basically got to float around on the ship, the Beagle, for a bit, and, you know, went to the Galapagos Islands, came up with his, you know, theory of evolution, which is complete nonsense. And he later recanted the theory before he died. What was interesting about the whole theory, the eugenicists grabbed a hold of this. The eugenicists were the ones who, and it was primarily here in the United States, actually, and the Democratic Party jumped on it, and a whole bunch of other people jumped on it as far as race. As far as letting people breed of different colors, they started calling, you know, people who were of black color basically monkeys or primates because of what Darwin had said. And so this term, when you call somebody a monkey who's black, that is inferring that they're some type of ape creature, is nonsense, because we all know now the theory of evolution is complete and totally discredited. It's stupid. We all have the same DNA, just different pigmentation on our skin. And what's funny about all of this stuff is that, you know, the Democrats with Margaret Sanger jumped into the Planned Parenthood movement, you know, gosh, 100 years ago now, because it was part of the eugenics program. They're also the ones that started the KKK, kept it rolling with Woodrow Wilson in the White House. And the Democrats, you know, were the ones who did all the stuff. Plus, remember, Abraham Lincoln, like him, love him, or whatever, he was a Republican. And, you know, he was anti-slavery for the southern states because he was anti-states' rights. He was anti-federalist. He was basically a nut. He had all kinds of weird things going on at the White House. His wife conducted seances in the White House. He was a straight blown-up Satanist in the White House. I mean, this is just basic history you guys can look up. And so, you know, we have all of this different stuff that they always try to shed back now. Now, when the Democrats do all of this crazy stuff, then it turns back around, and they want to put it on us. So when he says, don't monkey up the business, that's an old term that has nothing to do with black people. It has nothing to do with black people. What that means is you don't put a monkey in a building with a bunch of wrenches and have them start throwing stuff into equipment and machinery. You don't do this. So when you use the term monkey up the business or monkey up the mess or monkey it up, it has nothing to do with race. It has to do, it deals with monkeys. Let's talk about don't throw monkeys in there. And see, and when DeSantis says you don't throw a monkey in the wrench, it has nothing to do with this guy's color. It's stupid. And DeSantis should have just said, you guys are stupid. I would have just said, told him what a bunch of idiots they were. But the reality is, Putnam's gone now. I wanted to talk about him for a second. Remember, he was against guns. He stood against the NRA in the state of Florida and basically was, you know, against them. And so that was his death knell. That was it, when he went against the NRA. In addition to that, you know, when Trump endorsed DeSantis, probably because of Trump, just because he find, you know, everybody finds out that, you know, Putnam's a big-time Masonic guy who basically is against the NRA. I mean, come on, guys. And by the way, all you guys who voted yesterday from this show, there's no way that we made that big of a difference for that huge difference, what, 20 points difference or whatever it was, but we helped. So thank you so much for being in the state of Florida and supporting DeSantis. Now, this guy from Florida, he's a huge Soros candidate, is what he is. And Soros has already pledged tens of millions of dollars for him to the governorship. He's the kind of guy that Barack Obama was. He's going to do whatever he's told to do. He basically is going to be funded with huge amounts of money, and he's going to be pushed into the national scene if he wins the governorship, or even if he doesn't win the governorship. In fact, right now, the Leon County Sheriff's Office, this is back in March 10th, 2017, it's a year ago, they basically were conducting an investigation on him because there was a complaint against him that said that he was doing all kinds of crazy stuff with city money. The crime in Tallahassee is horrible. Yeah, I had to be so careful. You know, when I go up there, you gotta be careful when you're walking on the streets. The area that's Pensacola Street, where I had apartments when I was in college there 40 years ago, it is completely turned into a giant ghetto. It's just absolutely drugs on the corner of every corner. It's awful. And this guy's the mayor, and he's allowing this to happen. Now, was it like that before he became the mayor? I don't know. I haven't really been up there that much. The last few years, I had a few tickets for a few games, but I really didn't look around like I did this last year. But this guy's a disgrace. He's a hardcore communist leftist supported by George Soros. And, you know, he's supported by Bernie Sanders, which is a hardcore communist leftist. I mean, that's just how it works. And George Soros is our backing now for the funding. So what we have to do here in the state of Florida, we can't allow this guy to start race baiting DeSantis and start saying things like this. And DeSantis needs to figure out what all these little colloquial terms are that these guys don't like being used against him, and say, okay, well, we just won't use those terms. And perhaps he'll have to start remembering to use the proper pronoun also when he speaks to people in the press also. Excuse me, are you a her? Are you a he? Are you an it? Or you prefer to be just whatever you want to call yourself? I mean, how do I talk to you? That's what I would have done. I would have spoofed them all. And it's nonsense, because you've got to look at what Margaret Sanger did. Margaret Sanger wanted an extermination. Remember, she's a Democrat. She wanted an extermination of the black population of the United States, wanted them to stop breeding. And she specifically used Planned Parenthood and told them to go into the black churches and get the black preachers to do what they told them to do as far as promoting abortion and reducing the birth rate for blacks. This is Margaret Sanger, the one that Hillary Clinton was so proud to receive the Margaret Sanger Award from. Margaret Sanger was a hardcore eugenicist, racist, period. There's no, you can't even deny it. It's just look up her, look her up. And of course, the people nowadays will be changing the history to not make her like that. That's what she was. And so, you know, I'm just really, really happy that, you know, that Adam Putnam, who caused this massive red tide bloom in the Gulf of Mexico, has polluted hundreds of miles of coastal waterways, killed millions of fish and endangered species, and all kinds of breeding grounds, and, you know, and everything else has been wiped out by this clown. I'm so glad that I don't have to see his nonsense anymore in the paper, in the press. He was pushed really hard by petrochemical ag companies, including Monsanto, and I'm so happy he's gone. I hope his career in politics is over, done, and kaput. And this Gillum guy, watch out for him, Austin. Because he could be the next Obama. He could be the next person coming in here and trying to basically run for president of the United States. And we'll see what happens with this guy, because he's corrupt enough, apparently, and he's stupid enough. I'll be very clear how I say that. I don't believe this boy is going to qualify for Mensa whatsoever. And so I just thought I'd make that statement. And he now has been, you know, thrust into his position of mayor of Tallahassee by who knows what. So it's one of those things, guys. Watch this race down here in Florida. This is a big deal. I do hope, however, as much as I don't want to do it, I'm going to have to hold my nose and vote for Rick Scott, just because I do not want that blithering idiot Alzheimer's patient Bill Nelson in for another term, because I can't take him at all anymore. Austin, what do you think? What's your next story?
Yeah, and one thing to add to it as well, the aspect of it that was very strange that I noticed about Gillum is that, you know, he didn't even have that big of a following in the Democratic races at all. He kind of came out of nowhere last night and pulled ahead, which I found very interesting. It's very similar to Obama with the fact that, yeah, he kind of came up out of nowhere, got the mayor position in Tallahassee. I did some research on him. I mean, he really wasn't involved in a lot of community service work, same crap as Obama was involved in. Now, son, he's been the mayor, has done a horrible job in the mayor of Tallahassee. Like I said, when you go up there, there's some areas up there that, I mean, you better carry a pistol with you if you want to walk around the street at night. I'm telling you that right now. It's better to not go down those areas, but it's got that bad. And so this is the socialist agenda. This is what he wants to do. He wants to ban all firearms pretty much without, you know, the exception of shotguns. He wants to completely and totally raise the tax rate, bring in state income tax, redistribute the wealth. And you're absolutely right. If this catches a trend with him, which just scares me, and what shows me that they're trying to push him into position the best they can, is the fact that they're pulling this really, really petty race card right out of the
game
after he got his spot, because I don't think he was supposed to win, and they kind of pushed him in there, so he won. So now they're like, okay, he's got a chance. Now we have to do every single thing we can. I mean, I went online today. I literally, if you type in Gillum, even on DuckDuckGo, every single article that comes up is about that stupid comment about don't monkey us up. I'm not kidding. I literally pulled up like 25 different articles. Every article is about that comment from DeSantis. Every single article. Nobody's discussing his politics. Nobody's discussing his background. Nobody's discussing his unbelievably socialist, basically, push that he wants to do with a massive tax increase. Nobody's bringing that up. The only thing they're talking about now is he's the victim because he's the black man that's been receiving race, basically, nonsense spewed at him, race hatred, because DeSantis uses the word monkey up. This is obnoxious to me, and I'm really, really, really getting tired of hearing this garbage all the time from the mainstream media, because there's so many other things to cover right now, especially about this man, besides playing the victim card for him and saying, oh, well, he's a victim. You got to understand now, DeSantis is playing the race card already. It's a low blow. I can't believe he's doing this. I was watching. I said, you've got to be kidding me right now. This is what they want to do. Now, speaking of socialist and tyranny and full-blown communism now, I saw an article today. The Constitutional Court of South Africa now has ruled that 300,000 gun owners must turn in their firearms now. Apparently, the massive wealth redistribution and the seizing of assets illegally in South Africa has turned into a nightmare, because a lot of the white farmers down there are becoming very, very well armed and actually hiring militias and mercenaries to help protect their farms from these guys that are coming in and trying to take them over by force, because basically the South African dictator is stating that they can have their land because they're white and they're black and they deserve it more than they do. Even they don't even know how to grow some of the crops in that area. So now they've decreed that 300,000 South African residents have to turn in their guns. The judgment came in response to the High Court ruling, which basically said the Firearms Control Act was unconstitutional. The report from the citizen explains what Section 24 and 28 entail. It says Section 24 of the Act requires that any person who seeks to renew a license must do so 90 days before it expires. Section 28 stipulates that if a firearm license has been canceled, the firearm must be disposed of and forfeited. A 60-day time frame was placed on its disposal, which was done through a dealer. Now that the High Court's initial ruling has been overturned, gun owners who fail to renew their firearms license must hand in their firearms to the nearest police station, where authorities will destroy them. Many native political observers will paint this event as a casual gun control scheme, but any astute students of politics will recognize that the floodgates are now open for further encroachments, not only on the gun rights of South Africans, but on other facets of their lives. If you look at the South Africa's current political climate, it will give you an idea of the political ramification of this gun control scheme that they're now coming in now and telling these individuals that they have to confiscate their firearms. Listen to what I said there. If you don't renew your firearms license 90 days before it expires, so if it expires at the end of March, and you're going into the new year of 2019, and it's January 2nd, now all of a sudden, you have to turn in your firearm because you haven't applied to have a new firearms license renewed within 90 days of it expiring, guys. This is absolutely atrocious to me, and this will and ultimately lead to genocide like it does in every single country that has ever occurred before. When firearms and weapons are seized from the population, genocide occurs shortly thereafter, Dad.
Yeah, I've got a good friend of mine who's a pastor from South Africa, and it's interesting because he told me, I sent him this article, and he said, I'm not turning in my guns. And now he lives in the United States now, but he has a dual residency with South Africa. He's absolutely not. He goes, none of my friends are turning in their guns either, because we know where it leads next. And for the fact that these guys are having to hire mercenaries and soldiers now to guard their farms, well, all I can say, it's about time, because these guys have been getting killed now for many, many years because they're just simply because they're white. I mean, I'd hate to say that, but that's just why they're dying. If there were black farmers out there, they wouldn't be seizing their land. It's all because of race-based politics.
Yep.
One more thing about Gillum. Gillum was on the short list for Hillary Clinton's vice presidential pick. I want you guys to remember that. This is out of one of John Podesta's stolen emails. But when he decided to run for the governor, Senator Bernie Sanders all of a sudden showed up to campaign for him. But remember, he was on the short list for Hillary Clinton as a vice presidential pick. So I want you guys to realize this guy is being groomed. Now we find out he's a community organizer. You know, I've listened to him speak. He's a buffoon. He doesn't know what he's doing. And the sad part about it is that, you know, he's not going to get any better the longer he's around. He's just going to get worse. And the same thing Obama did. But he probably will go in and do what he's told to do, Austin. That's why they're probably, you know, doing what they're doing with him. By the way, the California legislature now wants the government to censor internet content on bizarre claim that Russian bots are creating fake news, including immunization information on how bad immunizations are. This is crazy.
Yep.
A strange piece of propaganda in the form of a study from George Washington University says that Russian bots and trolls are behind the anti-vaccine posts on the internet designed to create discord and polarize conflict. There's no scientifically supported opposition to the vaccine, just like Russian bots, you know. I mean, there's hundreds of articles that are opposed to vaccines that are all scientifically supported. California State Senator Blithering Idiot Richard Pan, a pediatrician who introduced mandatory vaccines in the state, is proposing legislation now that would require all Californians with a social website or social media account to verify news stories they share on the internet with so-called fact checkers and to post warnings of fake news if the information is contrary to to the views of the government pronouncements or mainstream media. This ploy to silence opposition, to my opinion, is blatantly absurd. But the new totalitarians, the new dictators, will solemnly pretend that it's all reasonable proposal to protect the public. Remember, whenever they tell you they're going to do something to protect you, it's always going to mean you're going to lose rights. I'm just telling you what it means.
Yep.
You're going to lose freedom and you're going to lose rights. And, you know, to me, we're making a difference. This show's making a difference. All the shows that have hammered immunizations are making a difference. There are a lot of people out there that have awakened to immunizations. Just a few minutes ago, Austin, Hunter's swim instructor was here, and I was talking to him about, he's a former employee for American Airlines. And he was talking to me about, you know, he worked for the American for like 16 years, and he said he lost friends when the airplane went into the Pentagon. And I looked at him, I said, oh, I said, you, so you believe that, you know, the airplane went into the Pentagon? He goes, oh yeah, I lost friends. And I said, have you ever watched a video of the airplane going into the Pentagon? And he goes, well, no. He said, I saw a few flames and I saw the explosion coming out of the Pentagon. I said, where were the engines? Where were the wing marks on the side of the building? He goes, well, I don't know. And I said, how can a 757 fly at ground level as if it's trying to land at over 500 miles an hour? I said, from an aerodynamic standpoint, that's impossible because the air cushion underneath the airplane from the wing force with the air lifting the wings up, pushing down, won't let the plane go that low because the air is hitting the ground. It can't do it. The plane's too big. The wings aren't shaped right. You could probably be able to do something like that with an F-16 that's coming in with swept wings at a real high rate of speed, drawing a big debris cloud behind it, but you're never going to do it with a 757. The plane's just too big and the air envelope's too thick. And I said, I've had multiple pilots tell me that. I said, plus, you know, it seems strange to me that General Stubblebine, former Army general, has come out and said that there was no plane that hit this Pentagon. He said he didn't know what it was, but he said it wasn't a plane because there were no wing marks, and he was former head of Army intelligence. And the swim instructor kind of looked at me kind of like with a blank look on his face, and I said, well, let's talk about 9/11 for a second. I said, do you even know about Building 7? He goes, what's that? And so I pulled it up on my iPhone real quick. I said, here's another building, the Solomon Building. It fell down at free fall speed, you know, after 9/11 on the same day. He said, well, I've never heard about this. And I said, well, it's because they didn't publicize it. I said, on top of that, how does a building fall into its own footprint, encountering more and more density of steel, more and more rubble, more and more concrete, and never slow down? How does it fall at the same speed that a bowling ball would from 1,000 feet up in the air and hit the ground with hardly any impact and no seismic footprint? So how does that even happen with a building that big? And why did all these steel girders, some of the largest ever created, just suddenly collapse as it fell into its own footprint when it should have been getting harder and harder to fall? And the center columns where the elevators were some of the thickest steel, some of the thickest concrete ever poured, and it just disappeared. He goes, well, I don't really know. And I said, I'll tell you what I'll do. I'll send you a few links. And I said, it's just something that you need to start looking at and asking a few questions. And it was so funny, Austin. It was like lights started going on in his head, like, what the heck, you know? And see, that's what we all have to do. We need to continue to talk to people. Every time we meet them and ask them questions, if you see them when they're pregnant, ask them, have you thought about immunizations? Oh, that's a very controversial topic now. Have you thought about it? Well, no, I didn't know it was controversial. Oh, yeah, there's a really good movie out a few years ago. It's on YouTube now for free. It's called Vaxxed, V-A-X-X-E-D. You might want to check that out. Okay, what's the name of the movie? Vaxxed. How do you spell it? V-A-X-X-E-D. And say, I'll be happy to send you the link if you'd like. Oh, no, I'll look it up myself. Let me write it down. And get everybody to start thinking through what they're doing. And guys, if we all did that, everybody, then they couldn't silence us. And Austin, that's what's happening out in California. People are talking and talking and talking about, we don't want our children to be autistic. We don't want to have to deal with all of this stuff as an adult and take care of these kids and leave them in state custody when we pass on or when we die. This is not okay with us, so we don't have to deal with this. And they're making changes. And see, they don't want us to make those changes. By the way, Russia is warning of chemical gas false flag attacks in response to threat by John Bolton, the other idiot in the Trump administration, the warmonger, the war hawk. Russia is warning against a new chemical false flag attack in Syria after U.S. National Security Advisor John Bolton, who never saw a war he didn't love, threatened Syria with a very strong military response if Assad uses chemical weapons again. So Russia goes, hey, they're going to do it to us. Russia says terrorists plan to stage a chlorine attack with the assistance of the British, UK, special MI6 services to create a pretext for the U.S. and the West to strike Syria. The Russian spokesman identified Ha'atari Aslam, which is rebranding of al-Qaeda as the group planning to stage the attack and put the blame again on Assad's forces. There is evidence that the prior gas attacks were all staged in this fashion. So Russia is now warning us that Bolton is about to use MI6 to create another false flag gas attack in Syria so the greater Israel project can continue and the restructuring of the maps in Israel can continue in the Middle East. And the thing that's sad to me, Austin, is Syria has pretty much won this war. They have pretty much won the war. There's absolutely no reason, again, for Assad to gas his own people now and create World War III out of this situation. But oh wait, they don't want us thinking about this, do they, Austin? Because they don't want us thinking. They want us being concerned about somebody monkeying around in the Florida legislature. They want us thinking about the fact that, you know, all of these other crazy things are going on. Just keep your eyes on the shell underneath the cup, underneath the little ball here, so we can try to confuse you with all of this obfuscation. Guys, I'm telling you, this mess in Syria, it ain't over yet. And guys, if we're not careful, we're going to have a full-blown escalation over there. And Russia has moved a lot of its troops now to its eastern border, having a huge, huge military operation with over 300,000 troops. You know, Russia basically has built a huge military base again. And, you know, they're not going to be like, you know, Libya, you know, or Saddam Hussein if something happens with Russia, because they have nuclear weapons. And quite frankly, all of this stuff is pure nonsense. Why don't we leave these guys alone, Austin? Let Syria be Syria, and let all these countries just do what they need to do for themselves and to secure the safety of their own people and try to figure out how to make their lives work and not try to go in here and shoot and kill a bunch of them every time we get a chance. What do you think, bud?
Well, we can't start World War III if we don't ignite tensions in Middle Eastern countries that we're not supposed to be in. It's pretty much simple as that. This is what the globalists want. They want a third world war, and they are bent on... I mean, guys, 6 months ago, they gassed the chlorine gas attack again that they said was Assad, and we struck them again a year and a half before that with the exact same scenario. In both cases now, multiple people have gone and investigated it. Chlorine weapons experts, chemical weapons experts have gone and said, we don't see any point at all that these chemical weapons are directed from Assad whatsoever. These are either rebels or they're terrorists or they're ISIS or other individuals that are working to do this stuff. None of it done work. Assad didn't do it. And so now we're using that excuse again. My question is how long is the American population going to be this gullible that we're going to fall for the same sleight of hand trick over and over and over and over and over again? That's my question. Because, I mean, it reaches a point where somebody does the same magic trick to you in front of you, and you reach a point where you figure it out. You watch the shell game. You watch what cup it's in. You watch the sleight of hand. You say, okay, that's it. Okay, that's it. I figured it out now. You're not going to get me anymore. It shouldn't take that long to figure it out. But for some reason, the American population and their brainwashed warmongering that we've been built and ingrained into us now with the media, with the movies, with the video games now, that we really believe we have to go and start a war every couple of years just to prove our dominance over other countries, is quite frankly asinine. And the problem is the American population has to start standing up and saying, we don't want another war. We don't need to be in other countries. We need to get out of Afghanistan, by the way, the fact that we've been there for what, coming on, what, 17, 18 years now, we've been over there. Isn't it time we start cutting our losses and saying, hey, the more money we pump into stopping the drugs, the more the drugs grow? That's at least what, I mean, we're seeing on paper. We know there's more reasons behind it, but they can't even argue with the fact that they've dumped billions upon tens of billions of dollars into preventing the harvesting and growth of opiates and poppy in Afghanistan. And they say in their own articles, in their own reports, in their own memos, that it has done nothing but increase the growth of poppy. Well, wouldn't that come to a point where you go, maybe we should just stop what we're doing? Isn't the definition of insanity doing the same thing over and over and over and over and over again and expecting a different result? Isn't that what we're continuing to do here? And the majority of the American population just sits back and, like you said, Dad, they're too concerned about DeSantis making a comment about don't be monkeying around. Now it's got to be a racist comment. Now the poor Gillum's on the defense. Now he's the victim because he's going against the racist. And if we're not careful, the mainstream media is going to distort and twist every single thing DeSantis says to try to make it in Gillum's favor. I'm telling you that right now. That's about to happen.
Right.
That's about to happen real quick if we're not careful. So DeSantis needs to literally watch everything he says after this election, because they are going to micromanage every word he says and try to twist it now, because they've already said now, they've already seen numerous articles, if Gillum wins, he'll be the first black governor of the United States of Florida. I've seen multiple articles now. He posts that in headlines now. Dude, he won the Democratic primaries. He hasn't won the governorship yet. He hasn't done anything. He wasn't even supposed to win. He's been a slouch as a mayor in Tallahassee. Don't give him more credit than he deserves. So stop trying to placate us and pull an Obama 2.0 to make us believe we need to have this socialist in office. He's going to do great things for Florida, when in reality, all he's going to do is tax us to an oblivion and ban all of our firearms. And then we're going to be in a pickle down here in Florida, because we're going to have one or two options. One of two options. And I'm not even going to go any further than that, Dad. But yes, this is exactly what people need to understand. This whole thing in the Middle East is not going to stop until we make it stop, and we stop supporting this right now, because it has gotten way out of hand. There's no need to keep attacking a sovereign country that doesn't want us there, that has blatantly asked us not to be in that country, and that is what they're continuing to do and using the Russian narrative. Hence why Russia's been the boogeyman for the last 2 years now. Hence why they're saying Russia's meddling now in our social media and telling us about vaccines. Guys, Russia doesn't have to say anything about vaccines. All you got to do is use your own brain and read some articles. I just saw an article here that came across my desk off Zotavax, which is the shingles vaccine. And what's ironic to me about this is something that has been out for years now, has literally produced over 100,000 adverse reactions, according to the VARS, the Vaccine Adverse Event Reporting System. Zotavax is the popular shingles vaccine. The inoculation has been tied to numerous cases of vaccine injury, including shingles itself. Merck, of course, Merck is the company that manufactures this. They're now reporting that at least 80 deaths have been tied to the Zotavax vaccine, and over 100,000 adverse side effects. One individual that came out, Dr. Robert Scott Bell, said the vaccine is failing because it's not facilitating natural antibody production, which is the issue we see so many times. He goes, I think on some level it's by design. Vaccines are one of the many medical weapons he calls disease creation machinery. Listen to what he says here, guys. I've talked about this so many times, and so is Deb. The vaccines are being used specifically to create and build a larger medical industrial complex model. They know when these children get shot up with this stuff, and not just the shingles vaccine, all these other ones, that it literally puts them into this hospital medical industrial model. I've had numerous friends of mine, good friends of mine, people that I've seen for years. They have kids. I talk to them about vaccines. They don't listen. Then all of a sudden they have a baby. A couple months later, the baby's having these horrible health issues. I had a good friend of mine. He works for UPS. He had a kid almost Hunter's age, a little bit younger than Hunter. Lana and his wife were pregnant almost at the same time. And they had the baby. I said, are you going to vaccinate? Well, I've been thinking about not doing it, but my wife wants to vaccinate. And I said, okay. I gave him some articles. He read them. He got even more apt to not vaccinate. Of course, his wife and his wife's mother were adamant. We got to vaccinate our children. We got to vaccinate our children. Just talked to him the other day. I talked to him on and off. Kids had tubes put in his ears now. Now he's about to have his tonsils removed. He's literally in and out of the hospital almost every single month now on numerous different medications. Is becoming antibiotic resistant now at the age of 2. Because he's been on so many antibiotic cycles because he becomes sick and the doctors have no idea what to do. And I asked him, I said, well, did you vaccinate? He goes, yeah, we did, man, but it has nothing to do with that. The doctor said that, you know, it would have happened to him regardless. And I said, okay, bud. I said, I'm not going to argue with you, man. I already have so much pain that I'm feeling for that child, because he literally is going to be in the hospital industrial complex probably the rest of his foreseeable life now. And he's going to grow up thinking it's normal to be on 4, 5, 6 different medications, normal to go to the doctor every 30 days, normal to be in a hospital bed. And, guys, that's not normal. That doesn't have to be normal, that doesn't have to be the normal in the United States. But when we see these things that we call disease creation machinery, as Robert Scott Bell refers to them, he adds, he says, these disease creation ultimately translates to a lifelong dependence on pharmaceutical intervention. Bill argues further that the antibodies alone are not enough to protect against these diseases in most cases. He goes, while they obviously do help, a healthy, strong, functional immune system relies on much more than just antibodies, and a weakened immune system will not function well even with the abundance of antibodies. This is something that everybody has to understand, because while the CDC and the mainstream media guys and other puppets of the pharmaceutical industrial complex continue to push this narrative that vaccines are 100% safe, that is completely and totally fake news. They are not safe. There's reasons why we have millions upon millions of people that have had adverse reactions to all these different vaccines. The vaccine rate continues to climb. At the exact same time, the autism rate's continuing to grow exponentially. These are not unrelated, guys. There's a strong correlation between both of these, and we have to take a step back and look and listen and say, hey, the food we're putting in our body is causing issues. The vaccines we're injecting into our bodies are causing issues. The water we're drinking is causing issues. The thing about those three things, guys, is those are all three things we can personally control right now. We may not be able to manage what's going on in Syria physically right now. I wish we could. We may not be able to stop these clowns from spraying chemtrails over us right now, but we can sure as heck have filtered, purified, distilled water in our systems and our houses. We can sure as heck keep these vaccines out of our systems. We can sure as heck keep these GMO glyphosate toxic foods out of our refrigerators and off of our dinner plates, and we can sure as heck take the highest quality nutraceutical supplements that you can physically buy right now through Health Masters, all of which can be done right this second. You don't have to wait. You don't have to complain. You don't have to speculate. All these things can be changes that can be done right now in your life and in your family's life, and they can have a huge impact on our overall health, Dad, because these are things that are not getting better. And the more people we can wake up and stop supporting these giant, giant multi-billion dollar industries, the better off we're going to be as a Christian nation, Dad.
Rothschild Inc. You know, I remember, by the way, that was an excellent rant. Excellent. I love that. I remember years ago, you know, you thought I'd gone over the top in the gym that day, and I may have a little bit. Well, I basically told a friend of yours and a friend of mine who I'd known since he was a child, who just had a baby who decided he was going to immunize it, said that in the event that the child comes down with autism, it was God's will for that child to be autistic. You know, that's called providentialism. That means you're saying that the divine providence of God controls everything. Now, I will say this. God gives you freedom of will, and as soon as you figure that one out on your own and realize there are multiple plausible outcomes based upon your freedom of will and what you're going to do. Now, he may know what you're going to do in advance, but it wasn't because he forced you to do it. So it wasn't his fault if you give a child a shot and it comes down with autism and you know the truth. And then I said to your friend that day, I said, it's kind of like saying, I'm going to step out in front of a semi-truck to kill myself, and it's God's will. It's not God's will. It's nonsense. But this is what a lot of people are taught, Austin. And the biggest problem that we have, and I'm going to say this for you, for the young people that are getting married or who have spouses or who are about to have a spouse, or if you're, you know, in the process of finding and looking for a spouse and you want to have children, this is a thing that you have to bring up when you are dating, and you have to bring it up to the in-laws. You say, well, I don't want to do that. It may mess up the marriage. It may mess up the dating. Well, you better mess it up now than mess it up after you get married. Because, guys, that was the big thing with this kid in the gym. It was his mother-in-law and his wife who conspired against him in order to force these children to be immunized. And it's like Austin says, you see this stuff all of the time, and you don't know what to say because, you know, I can't get involved in someone's marriage. I can't get involved with somebody's mother-in-law, you know. So the key here is you have to choose well, you know. So if you go out with some – and I've done this before. I went out with this girl one time. I'll never forget this. And this is back when I was in junior college, and she was stunningly beautiful. I mean, she's beautiful, beautiful girl. And I'm talking to her at the movie theater, and she's taking some aspirin. And later on, I found out she wasn't taking aspirin. She was taking amphetamines. And I was like, whoa. And I've never seen anybody do that before. And apparently her personality was so bad that if she wasn't on amphetamines, she had her real personality being shown, and she needed to get a little bit up. And so that was the one day wonder with her. And you got to learn, if you go out with somebody and you're diametrically opposed to their value systems, why do you want to go out with them twice? I mean, what is the point of that? I mean, if you're dating them and you're having to deal with constant conflict because of stupid stuff, well, let's go smoke some pot or let's go take some LSD or let's go shoot up some heroin. You probably need to say, let's take you home and I don't ever want to see you again. How about that? That sounds better to me. And it goes further today, guys. If let's say you're a neat freak and your wife's not a neat freak or your wife's a neat freak and your husband's a slob or whatever, you got all these things have to be worked out after you get married. These things don't just go away. They just get intensified. I remember I was dating this other girl in college. In fact, it was the girl who got me saved. And I remember I had a friend of mine I was working for him part-time in graduate school when I was in, you know, getting my MBA. And he said to me, so are you going to marry so-and-so? And I said, I don't think so, bud. I said, you know, we're arguing too much. And then he said, well, you know, he said, it doesn't get better. If you're arguing a lot when you're dating, there's a high probability it's going to be a lot worse when you get married, because when you're dating, you still just walk away. When you start entangling assets together legally, and start having children together legally often, you can't just walk away anymore. Now you got to deal with all this. So find somebody who's going to ask them, are you going to be doing this immunization stuff? I mean, what do you want to do with kids? Do you want to why don't you ask them this? Do you even want children? You may want to ask that, because a lot of people don't want kids. I remember I had a good friend of mine. His name was Sean, and he was young. He married this girl, you know, from the church, and she wanted a big family. And he finally told her after they got married he didn't want any children. And she was sitting around, you know, basically in tears all the time because he wanted zero children. Finally, I said to him, I said, dude, I said, you know, is this really fair? Is this really fair if your wife wants kids and you don't? I said, this is something that you should have thought about before you married her. I said, what is she supposed to do? Go have kids with somebody else? I said, you're her husband. And he thought about it, and then they ended up having four children. It was funny. But the craziest thing about all of this stuff is these are all premarital things that you've got to talk about. Hey, do you take vitamins? No, I don't believe in vitamins. Hey, what about 9/11? What do you think about 9/11? No, I believe the report that the government gave us. Okay, what about the assassinations of John F. Kennedy? If you ever do it in history, who was John F. Kennedy? If they start asking you questions like that, either you have to do some pretty quick education with them, or you're going to have to say, "Well, I got to go." One of those things needs to happen pretty quick when you start dating people, because otherwise you just put a bunch of time in and you're spinning your wheels. Now, yesterday we talked about Chris Kyle. Now, I'm going to stop for just a second on this, because, you know, he was a very decorated sniper. But when he came out with this book a few years ago, and the reason I'm talking about this, because I watched the video on this morning that was sent to me by Matthew, and it was Jesse Ventura on Joe Rogan's show. Now, you can watch that, and they're talking about Chris Kyle, and the name of the article is Chris Kyle's Lie Destroyed My Life, Jesse Ventura, Joe Rogan Experience. Now, as all Joe Rogan shows have, it's got filthy language in it. Just don't, if you don't want to listen to that, don't even turn it on. And I'll give you the cliff notes real quick. What Chris Kyle did, and I believe this, for some reason the guy had gotten caught up in this whole notoriety thing of who he was and what he did and everything else with the sniper stuff. He kind of became like a hero. He even, in his book, lied about how many medals he had, Austin. I kid you not. They had to come in and like do a retraction on the amount of medals that he had. I mean, we're talking like silver stars and, you know, bronze stars and all that kind of stuff. So I'm talking pretty high-end medals that he lied about in the book, start with that right there classifies him and qualifies him as somebody who's not telling the truth. And he said that they were at a SEAL reunion, and Jesse Ventura said something about the SEALs, and he cold cocked Jesse, knocked him down, and walked out of the room. And then when the MPs arrived, he ran out the door so he wouldn't get arrested. Jesse Ventura says that entire thing was a lie. You think, well, why are you talking about this, Ted? This sounds like soap opera stuff. Stay with me. Listen to what happens with this. So Jesse Ventura, they have an errors and omission policy in books and authors. And what happens if there's a mistake in a book or you say something about somebody that's not true, the insurance will cover you in the event that basically someone says, you've slandered me, so now I'm going to sue you. So Jesse sued the insurance company of the book. And what happened is he won, because Chris Kyle couldn't produce one witness in this entire room full of SEALs that said that they saw him strike Jesse Ventura. That's number one. Jesse Ventura tried to tried to negotiate with him in a closed door hearing with a judge, and he said, and the first thing Jesse said, are you telling me now that you didn't hit me, or that you hit me? And he goes, yes, I hit you. You know I did. And Jesse said, this meeting's done. You're not going to lie like this to me to my face. Now, here's what's interesting about all this. Here's why I'm saying this. The conviction and the settlement was overturned because a whole bunch of media people got involved in the settlement, and basically he wanted to have the victory thrown out of court. So now it's going to be retried. I mean, it was like 36 different media groups who were involved in promoting the book and involved in the purchase. Remember, this is the Rothschild group. I was going to say it that way. The Rothschild group, who controls the media, they got involved and wanted Jesse DePlantis, not Jesse Ventura, not to have this victory. Now, here's what I thought about when I said this, when I saw this today. Jesse Ventura did the show's Conspiracy Theory. You know, they were on a network, on a Mascara network on TV about 10 years ago. They were all excellent, except for the one show where he threw David Icke under the bus and really insulted David Icke and aired it anyhow. He should have never done that. That was a huge mistake on Jesse's part. I have disrespected him ever since he did that. But that show catapulted him to the level of, like, national prominence in alternative media. And he also said that he was going to run for the president of the United States. The media doesn't want Jesse Ventura running for president because he runs his mouth too much. He is not part of the billionaire boys club. And so they had to discredit him. That's why they allowed that information to go into that book with Chris Kyle that Jesse badmouthed the SEALs, which they all knew was a lie, as far as I'm concerned. It's my opinion. That's an opinion piece. And then basically when Jesse Ventura called him out on it and sued him, they didn't expect to see him get this big brouhaha and grow all of these legs, because they were actually going to put that part into one of the movies, according to Jesse Ventura, about Jesse Ventura getting knocked out by Chris Kyle, Austin. That was going to be the movie. And Jesse Ventura wrote to people who were going to do the movie and said, if you do this, I'm going to sue you, because you know it's not true. So all of this brouhaha with a Rothschild-controlled group of people that run the media and run Hollywood came against Jesse Ventura. Now, there's only one reason they would do that. They wanted to kill him nationally. Jesse Ventura says the only people even he can work with now is Russia TV Today. Nobody else will hire him or give him any media prominence. Why? Because they don't want to give him any credibility anymore. They have destroyed him in the media because they did not want him to run for president of the United States, because they don't want him out there telling the truth. So I want to share that with you today, because we talked about Chris Kyle yesterday, but Chris Kyle openly lied about his medals. I personally believe, since they couldn't produce one witness and a group full of people saying that Chris Kyle, that seems to be Chris Kyle hit Jesse Ventura, I believe that's a lie. And so I think that Chris Kyle was being manipulated, and in order to prevent him from coming out and telling the truth that he did not hit Jesse Ventura, which I believe he probably was fixing to do, Austin, Chris Kyle was killed. I want to throw that in there too. Because Chris Kyle had started the lie, and they want him to stay with that lie and finish it. Just an opinion piece I want to give you guys today, instead of all of the other weird stuff that we talk about. When you think about that, what do you think, Austin?
That's definitely interesting. I'm not sure. You know, I've heard mixed rumors on that back and forth. And, you know, it could have been an escalated confrontation, and somebody could have gotten shoved or pushed back and this and that. And, you know, Chris Kyle said, oh, yeah, I pushed him. You know, I did that. And somebody else said, oh, well, he hit him. You know, and then it escalates and turns into this big brouhaha rumor, and he doesn't want to essentially turn it down. So he's like, okay, whatever, I'll just roll with it. So I don't know. All I know is the man's dead, and we're never going to know what really happened. And
that's
I really
exactly
do
right.
think that he was very instrumental in trying to bring a lot of the military tactics to the civilian market, as he had said he wanted to do. And he also said that he wanted to run for Congress, which I think that would have been a huge debacle for the globalists, because he would have won immediately. I mean, the following he had would have pushed him right into his slot. And the problem is, I don't know if he would have followed the globalist orders. And so I think that was another aspect of him that they did not want having to happen. So I think all that stuff compiled together is what got him killed. But I definitely do not believe for a second that that was an organic shooting from just some deranged PTSD
nope.
guy at the range. We told you guys that yesterday.
Nope.
There were way too many things going on, as Dad just said, and I've said around his entire time being back in the States and stateside with everything he was working on, to be just some accidental discharge. It was nonsense.
Think about this, Austin. Chris Kyle's a Navy SEAL. Okay, I mean, these guys have a certain code of ethics. I mean, and all of a sudden he gets caught up in this publisher lie or whatever happened with this thing in the book. Jesse Ventura goes nuts on it. Because remember, Chris Kyle was killed before this thing was ever settled in court. And what ended up happening is, how do we know that Chris Kyle wasn't involved with people in the publishing business or in the movie business who he could then implicate as having been involved in telling him to put this lie into the book, and they had to silence him? So there's all, like you said, though, Austin, but because he's dead, Imagine how that works. Kind of like Lee Harvey Oswald.
Yep.
Imagine that. All of a sudden he's gone. So there's nobody to come in and talk to him. It's kind of like Timothy Lincoln McVeigh. Love to ask him some questions. All gone. All dead. Crazy, buddy. Crazy. What's your next story, bud?
Yeah, absolutely. Well, this one's pretty crazy as well, and I wanted to bring it up simply on the fact that people need to understand what's going on with our library association, and if you have this coming to your town, you need to petition it immediately. I haven't heard anything about it down here in Central Florida, but the American Library Association now of the United States has now approved drag queen story hour for three-year-olds in public libraries from the TFP Student Action. They're coming in now to get a petition signed to stop transgender drag queen story hour in public libraries. They said, when gender fluid story books replace Little Red Riding Hood, we should ask ourselves, has society sunk lower than Sodom and Gomorrah? Endorsed by the American Library Association now, and I quote, it is called the Drag Queen Story Hour, has now spread to 21 states, directly targeting preschool and early grade school children with homosexuality and transgender in public libraries. The Associated Press filmed a drag queen story hour in New York. The individual that was dressed up in drag stated, "Who wants to be a drag queen when they grow up?" asked the lady. "Me, me, me," cried rooms of little children all across. And this is on videotape. The coloring books used at these immoral programs teach toddlers how to create their own drag name and circle your own pronoun that fits your description. "We must not remain silent on this new form of transgender child abuse spreading nationwide. Speak up now. Protect the little ones." You can contact the American Library Association, essentially toll-free, 1-800-545-2433, and voice your opinion. You can also do and look at the petitions that are available right now and getting some of this stuff signed, because this, you know, here's my thing, and Devin, if I would said this, if you want to go be queer, if you want to go do weird tranny stuff behind closed doors in the privacy of your own home, there's not much I can say to you to do it. This is a free country. Everybody has the ability to make their own decisions, and we have free will. But you start dragging my children into it, you start trying to push my children into your weird, sadistic, perverted behavior, we're going to have a problem every single time, and I can promise you that. This is taking it too far. It's bad enough we have to deal with it on the media and YouTube and movies now. The fact that we're taking it to public libraries, well, the sad part about that is a lot of children still go to public libraries to get basically access to books, computers, all types of education instruments that they can have for free, because that's what was granted to us. That was given to us as libraries all over the country for free for children that may not have a lot of money, for families that may not be able to afford instant internet access or books, can go there and you can read a plethora of knowledge on any topic, whether you're a child or a teenager or an adult. You could go there and read to your heart's content. That's what libraries were built on, guys. And the fact that they're going in and perverting libraries now with this sick, twisted drag queen story hour and blatantly informing these kids that they need essentially to embrace drag queen and they need to pick their pronoun is right at child abuse, in my opinion. This is sexual child abuse, and this needs to be banned immediately. And the fact that 21 states have now allowed it to happen is egregious to me. Don't let it come to your state. Don't let it come to your city. If it comes to your city, do whatever you have to do, including a peaceful protest to shut these guys down and let them know that at least the worst-case scenario, that they are not welcomed in your area, Dad, because this is taking it too far.
I couldn't say anything but amen. That's right. I hope it never, ever comes down here. Remember, these are going to be primarily the Democratic, liberal, northern states that are going to allow this, the ones that who really enjoy perversion and sickness. That's what they want to do. By the way, 60 years of research has now linked gluten again to schizophrenia. Now, this is not something that's linked to glyphosate. This is not something there. But apparently, gluten and schizophrenics have a very big problem. So if you have a problem with anybody who you know who has schizophrenia, get them on a good supplement program, but get them off of gluten and all wheat products. I actually wrote an article on this a few years ago, and I saw it come across my desk now with a new study. And it says that new research is confirming the Gileadian schizophrenic link, which is part of the wheat molecule. It's the latest study to confirm the gluten schizophrenia link was published this month in the World Journal of Biological Psychiatry, entitled Elevated Gileadian Antibodies antibody levels in individuals with schizophrenia. So make sure you don't get any of this wheat product into your body if you have schizophrenia or if you know somebody who has schizophrenia. Also, wheat now, there have been 200 clinically confirmed reasons not to eat it. Now, of course, we know, too, it's also loaded with glyphosate almost every single time, so you have to avoid it, but you can have with wheat allergies, celiac disease, dermatitis problems, exercise-induced wheat, anaphylactic. I mean, you got all, it goes on and on and on and on. Autoimmune diseases, schizophrenia, food allergies, psoriasis, diabetes, irritable bowel syndrome. I mean, all of this stuff has now been linked to the eating of wheat. And I will say this, when I was in college and I was a bodybuilder and I worked out all the time, I found out very, very quickly that if I ate bread, I'd get fat. And if I got, and I would feel horrible and sluggish. And I try to avoid bread. We very rarely ever eat bread. Now that all the kids are gone and off in school, I don't think we have a loaf of bread in the house. Because if I eat a piece of whole grain bread or even wheat-free bread, it's like a treat, almost like a dessert, Austin. I just don't eat that stuff very often because it just makes me feel awful and it really increases body fat. If you really want to take a fat pill, go eat a cheese pizza with a deep crust and all that bread and all that cheese. If you want to really stack the weight on, start living on pizzas and sodas, and you'll put the weight on quick and you'll lose your health pretty quick too. Guys, thanks so much for listening. I appreciate you guys so much. I love you. I got to pray for you. No, I'm sorry. I apologize. I've not prayed today because Sharon took off with Austin this morning to see the chiropractor. I'm praying in a few minutes. I'll pray for you guys in a few minutes. I love you. In fact, I'll pray right now. Father, I pray that you bless our listeners, that you allow your face to shine upon them, that you're gracious upon them, that you grant them peace, love, and prosperity, and you bless them in every area of their life, Father. I pray this in Jesus' name. Guys, I love you. I'll do the write-up, Austin, and I will talk to you guys tomorrow.
Absolutely, guys. And if you saw or heard yesterday on the show, I'm running a back-to-school Fit Food special right now. Buy two cans of Fit Food protein, get one can completely free. The chocolate protein's a huge hit among kids. You can make smoothies, throw in bananas with it, make a great protein shake. Easy to mix, even if you just want to throw it in a glass and stir it up. It mixes very well. So be sure to check that out. That's ending on Friday. I'm only doing that for a couple days. It's like 35% off with this special when you do the math on it. Buy two, get one free. Be sure to check it out at Health Masters. And also, too, we just got a brand new fresh batch of Toby's beef jerky in right now. So that stuff's incredible. That's our New Zealand jerky that is just completely and totally as clean as it gets. I don't know about you guys. I was raised in the South. I eat beef jerky all the time. One bag of it's like 40 grams of protein, and it's a great snack, especially when you're out and about and doing stuff and you don't have food packed with you or a cooler packed with you and you're running around. It really is good for a fast, easy, digestible protein source that tastes really, really good. And I mean, you could straight up eat this. I've done this numerous times when I'm trying to diet down or when I'm eating and I'm missing meals. Instead of missing a meal, which is one of the worst things you can do, especially for your metabolism, eat about a half a bag of beef jerky. That's 20 grams of protein, and then turn around and drink about 20 to 30 ounces of water with it. The water keeps you hydrated, makes the beef a little bit fluffier in your stomach, allows it to slow down the digestion, and keeps you fuller at the same time while still providing you with 20 grams of really good digestible beef protein. So be sure to check that out on the website at healthmasters.com, the Toby's Beef Jerky. If you guys need anything, be sure to check us out or give us a call, 1-800-726-1834. And if you guys need anything, email us. Check out the website at Health Masters. We love you guys. We appreciate you. Have a blessed, safe, awesome night, and we'll talk to you again tomorrow, as always.